Okay. First, before we begin, I got an email yesterday from a very serious Talmud Chacham in New York, who was listening to our shiurim, and then emailed me last night, "Are you okay? You haven't posted in a week. I'm worried if you're sick." I said, "No, it's fine. I was just in England." So we're back. So Gavri, I'm okay, and I am, as I mentioned yesterday, always touched when you're listening to our shiurim. So I don't know how much longer we will spend on Lo Schanim. I think we're going to spend maybe one or two more days, and then we're going to move to the sugya of renting to non-Jews, both in Israel and Chutz Laaretz, which is the next big sugya. Well, not technically, but we did the sugya that was in the middle, if you remember, extensively. As Donnie will remember, we did the sugyas that came up in the middle very extensively already. Okay, but there's one issue that is brought up in Lo Schanim that we really didn't touch. I'll be honest, I'm not fully sure what to do with it. So I want to throw it out to you, and let's see what we can do with it. So we noted in the Gemara, just to remind ourselves, Lo Schanim, and okay, just for a second, Lo Schanim. Please always pronounce it that way, because I was listening to a shiur by someone who did it, who pronounced it Tichanim. That is wrong. This is a Kamatz Katan, right? Kamatz Katan sounds something like a, almost like an O, like not total. It's like somewhere in between. But no, but this is even if you're Sephardi.
Oh wow!
Right? I mean, this is not a Kamatz. A Kamatz is A-O, right? A Kamatz Katan is almost an O, almost, not 100%, but closer to an O, right? As my 5-year-old son informed me yesterday, because he just learned it. So please know as much as my 5-year-old son, and know that the word is
smarter than Rabbi Zirin's
Spiegel. You know, and please know that it is either te or se, but it is cha name. Cha name. Okay, te cha name. Fine? Anyways. Close parentheses there. Yes. Okay. Trust me, when I sent out a question on the Gush Rabbinic Listserv about Lo Schanim, I transliterated it like this, which technically is the wrong transliteration, because the A should be A, so this reads Tichanim. Really, I should have put an O over here, right? But I wasn't being medayik in my transliteration, and then I got two people criticizing me, assuming that I didn't know how to pronounce it. It's not true. I just didn't bother to transliterate it right. But it is Tichanim. Yes. I mean, to be fair, one of them was a professor of mine in college who happened to be on it, who was like, as you know, he's like, well, at least he hopes, because he was one of my professors that I'm educated of. You know. Okay. Fine. But one of the issues that is brought up, and I will be honest that I don't know exactly what the nature of the issue is, so let's try to figure it out. So if you remember, Lo Schanim, there were how many prohibitions that came from Lo Schanim, just to remind ourselves?
Three
and a half, if you remember. The Yerushalmi added one, right? There was primarily three. There's Chayin,
land,
right? There's Matnas Chinam, right? And right, then there's the land Yisurim. Then we noted that within the land Yisurim, there's what really comes from Lo Schanim and what comes from Lo Yeshvu, which we talked about extensively. Right? Matnas Chinam, if you remember, we talked about that in order to figure out what counts, you have to figure out what counts as Chinam and what counts as a Matana. Right? Within Chayin, we noted that within the Yerushalmi, in addition to praise, there was also beautifying. Mm. Right? But we seem not to paskin that way.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Right? This was the hairstylist one. Yeah? Yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember that? That was Yerushalmi.
One was not making.
Now, right? In addition, we noted that some people, Pipshat, think it's really about mercy in war, right? Which is the original context, right? We noted that according to the Bavli, this seems to be Iker, though maybe not. Maybe they're really talking about Lo Yeshvu, within the Yerushalmi, it's this. We noted that, all that extensively. Okay. But there is this position, the Kolbo, which then gets quoted, Lahalacha, by the Magen Avraham, though I noticed ironically, not by the Mishnah Berurah, which is very strange, because normally something was quoted in the Magen Avraham and quoted as well in the Ber Heitev, and made reference to by the Shari Tshuva, the Mishnah Berurah would quote Lahalacha, and it's also quoted by the Taz and Yeridea, but despite that, the Magen Avraham just doesn't, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote it, is this line from the Kolbo. So, the context, if you look at the Magen Avraham that I gave you, the Kolbo, was in benching. And the Kolbo is a Provençal Rishon. And he argues that if you say Harachama, well, right, they used to have which Harachamans you say always change, right? And they had certain Harachamans, they only said the Beis Avel, certain ones they said in the Bris. And in the context of those Harachamans, he says, V'imyesham kuti omer kol echad ve'echad minu bnei bris b'shmo. He said, don't make a generic harachamon bless everybody here, if there's a non-Jew there, because you don't want to bless the non-Jew. Lefi she'asur levarach kuti, because you aren't allowed to bless this non-Jew. K'dichziv lo sechonim lo titim lahem chayim. Right? Now, so the Kolbo introduces this isser of giving a bracha to a non-Jew, and he seems to include it under chay. Okay, but now help me here. Okay, why? Right. What is the nature of the isser? Now, I could have said, right, if I told you it was usher to daven for a non-Jew, which is what we're going to see, this machlokes, right, where might you have put the isser? Give me two places. So the Kolbo clearly puts it here in chay.
Or matnas chinam.
You might have put it in matnas chinam, right? You're giving it to him. Right? You're giving him a bracha.
You're like giving him a bracha.
Right?
It's like for no reason.
Right? Think about it. Right? You could have put it here. Right, so there is this discussion in Poskim, and I don't want to do this extensively, but I wanted just to maybe polish this off, because every shir I hear, like I listen to a bunch online, they all, for some reason, start with this. I don't know why you start with this. This is like, but, okay, fine. A lot of them, not all of them, some of them start with this. Now, I want to try to understand the Kolbo. Because if someone had told me, Lo Sichonim is usher, right? You can't give a bracha to a non-Jew because of Matnas Chinam. So then, and we'll see that certain people I think are going to go in this direction, right? I sort of understand that, right? Which is, okay, if you think that giving a bracha is as it sounds, you're giving someone something, so I get it. I shouldn't bless him. I shouldn't give him something.
Yeah, but
I mean, okay, it's a bit of a stretch.
What's the difference between giving a bracha and giving praise? Like,
so this is interesting, because think about it. And this is where I'm a bit lost.
Like giving praise is also giving them something.
Right? Is giving someone a bracha, is that chayn? Right?
You're kind of...
It depends.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like always... There's...
Help me here. I want to think through it.
Like,
let me throw out one possibility.
If you give them a bracha, then they should have like multiple kids, and it's kind of...
Is it praise? Let's be careful.
It doesn't sound like praise.
See, look, I would have said that if you thought it was chayn, it was chayn in the way the Yerushalmi conceptualized it. Right? Remember, right? The Yerushalmi said that the isser of... Remember I argued... Do you remember this? I argued this a few weeks ago. Not a few weeks ago, but yeah, I guess 2 weeks ago at this point. Right? That one way of looking at these three is as three distinct isurim. Right?
Right.
But I suggested that the Yerushalmi seems to think, by the fact that it says you can't style someone's hair, right, that there's a connection between these two, right, between chayn and matnas chinam. Because what's it really saying, right? If you say you can't make someone beautiful, then you're saying the problem is in praise, right? Meaning this is all one big category. Don't give them a present. Don't make them beautiful, and don't like grant them praise. Right? It's all about the giving. Right? You can conceptualize.
The give is more physical.
I'd say that perhaps the chayn aspect of the bracha is like if you do something for me, and then you do something crazy. Right? I say like bless you for
good
that.
Good job.
You know? No, not good job. Bless you, because we're talking about bracha.
Right.
Like that would be phrase, that would. So. Yes, because we're trying to figure out how brachas are like praise. Just let
okay,
me speak.
Fine. Okay, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So that would be a case where like a bracha is like as the praise, right? Instead of saying like, instead of saying thank you, you're saying, well, bless you for being able to give me such a good haircut, sort of thing.
So
maybe that's the case.
So let's try to figure this out. Okay. What I want to figure out is this, right? Again, I don't have a full. I'm not fully sure about this. But let's do different possibilities here. The Kalbo puts the bracha, right, under chen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. I'm laughing at how you wrote that. Because you wrote, like, the bays and the lamed.
Yeah, whatever. I was like, I don't even know how to write this. Okay, the Kalbo puts under chen.
Right.
Right? Now, why is that? So, one possibility, I think, is to go in the direction that I suggested for the Yerushalmi. Right, which is that chayin, right, netinas chayin is connected to matnas chinam.
Right.
And now we may not paskin like the Rishami's application, which is the hairstylist, right? But fundamentally, what we're talking about is a type of chayin which is more gift-like,
mm-hmm.
right? And that even praise is maybe. Sort of gift-like. They're conceptually linked, right? That the issue here is giving, right?
Right.
That's one way, I think, of conceptualizing this prohibition of praising or giving a bracha to a non-Jew, right? Now, how would... Let's say you didn't think this. So let's go back to Shimon. I think Shimon's going more this direction. If you think it's about
Chayin... I'm just trying to fit in
but
how,
not
how
in the,
Chayin
this.
Is a bracha.
Well,
I'm
yeah.
to fit in how
Good,
we're,
so,
how we're gonna
look,
call
so
Chayin
one way, I think, is to go in this direction.
That,
to say
yeah,
that Netinas Chayin is connected to Matnas Chinam, sort of the way the Yerushalmi, I suggested, is, right? Like, it's... We're widening what it means to give somebody something. You can give them praise, you can give them a bracha, you can make them beautiful,
right?
Meaning, they're all... Right? The other possibility is what?
Is giving them a bracha in the place of praise.
Right, that maybe, right, giving someone a bracha, right, implies appreciation.
Right.
Right? Right, implies appreciation.
Right, like why else would you be giving them a
bracha? Right? Right? So I think those are the two ways to understand why there might be a problem of giving a bracha to a non-Jew, right? One is to conceptualize it more on the gift side of things and say it's about giving, right? Or it could be, right, because it's not really praise, right? Meaning, think about it. Right, it's not praise. It's not like I'm saying you are... In certain ways, a bracha might be the opposite of praise.
But it says...
Right?
It says
right.
You can't...
You understand how it's the opposite of praise?
A bracha is the opposite of
praise. In a certain sense. Right? Praise is, you are beautiful. If I give you a bracha, may God bless you that you should become beautiful.
Yeah.
Right? Right? Right?
You're ugly.
Right? Meaning, a bracha is implying a lack. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right? By giving you a bracha, right, it's implying... So I understand how it might be sort of like a gift, but to say that it's about chayin, if you think chayin is distinct from gift, so... Then what you're going to have to do is say it's not about... Right, and this is why I think this sugya is important, because...
Oh,
it,
the Gemara, wait a second. I'm thinking about different, possibly a different way to read this.
Okay, good. So let's do what we have so far. I'm thinking through this with you. The reason I think that this is important is because I think it helps us clarify the nature of the Isser. Right, let me just repeat what I have on the board so far, and then I'll take Shimon, and then Dani, and then Nachum, because that was the order that people said some things, okay? So... We have this notion that the Kalbo says that it's usher to give someone a goy a bracha because of chayin. Okay? One way of understanding that, I think, is the way we suggested for the Yerushalmi, is that even giving chayin is sort of matana-like, right? I mean, giving praise is usher because I can't give in all different constructs, and that's why, from the same isser of saying I can't praise you that you're beautiful, I can't make you beautiful. Right? Meaning, it's all about giving you things, right? Improving your lifestyle, right? And therefore, within that, I sort of understand. You can include a bracha. Right? That's one model. If you think, chayin is really about praise, and why would it be usher? Do you remember? Right, why is it usher? Because what's that really about?
It's assimilation.
It's about, right, closeness.
Right.
Right? So then you could say, look, it's usher... Whether I appreciate what you have, or I express that I appreciate you by wishing you
right. No, so I'm saying
that things would be better. right? Meaning anything that implies or creates appreciation
right.
is going to be
so
usher.
Just interestingly, though, just within the case that we're dealing with here, by making a... I think that actually fits well, though, because with the case we're talking about in the Kobo, he's saying a case where you're sitting at a table with everyone, right? And there's one kusi. By blessing all together, you've now created that closeness. Like, oh, yeah, you're on the same level. You're
right, or something like that. That works well. Right? Now, what I didn't give you is the Taz, right? There's a bit of a machlokas, which is not related to Lo Sechan, in between the Maginamar and the Taz, is, okay, if I don't want to bless the kuti, then how exactly do I formulate the language? Right? Okay. I don't want to get into that, but basically there's a very complicated machlokas in Lashonos of whether you can say Kol Echad B'nei Bris, or that's a problem, because you've already said everyone who is Jewish, the Taz doesn't like that, because you already said everyone, and now you can't take it back. Right? So he says, all Jewish people,
everyone
or something like that, right?
Everyone that's, who is Jewish.
Yeah, well, he thinks that once you said everyone, right?
That there's
right?
power within that word.
Right, yeah. So the Magen Avraham doesn't care, the Taz does, again.
I don't get it, because the example that it brings is...
Again, that's a very technical machlok, because I really don't want to get into that one.
The example it brings is that it's like calling someone beautiful, and it doesn't sound like you're giving them a bracha.
You're right, it's not giving you a bracha, but the Kobo thinks that it's included, and that's what I'm trying to figure out. Why?
That a bracha would be included.
Included under... Chayin. And that's what I'm trying to figure out. Why?
That would be more of a gift.
By the way, can you tell me a nafkamina? Tell me a nafkamina for this.
Between the two?
Yeah, give me a nafkamina. Give me a nafkamina, and this is what I really want to point at. What is going to be a nafkamina? Now this seems like... Oh, Donnie, but you had something. What do you want to say, Donnie?
No, it's okay.
Okay, what would be a nafkamina between these two formulations, right? That the reason it's usher to give a bracha is because we understand the sinas chayin in a more matana-like way. That I'm not supposed to give something to you.
Right.
Right? We're saying that it's part of this general praise, appreciation, closeness thing.
Same.
What's the nafkamina?
Same case.
Thank you.
Well, the case that the Chaim Biyad brought down.
Meaning?
Would be that, like, if, let's say this guy works for you, and he gets sick, can you go give him a bracha so he gets, like, not sick
Good.
Anymore?
Right. One nafkamina might be... Right? What if it's not chinam? Right?
I feel like I'm cheating when I do that.
Right? If it's not chinam.
Right.
Right? If you think that this is under the problem of matnas chinam-like things, right? You bring lositim l'mchein closer to matnas chinam.
So if
it's not chinam, it might be mutter.
But according to chayin,
right?
It's still...
But chayin, the more you split it away from chinam, right, the more it might still be usher. A second nafkamina, right, is... And this is something I'm thinking, again, I'm not fully worked out. I want to work through this with you now. Right, is... Here's my question. Tfilah. What if it's not a bracha?
It's going to get better.
What if I daven for the guy? Right, meaning, so you'll see, some of these sources assume... that if it's usher to give a bracha, that it's usher to daven. Right?
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily true. Why?
Well, you're not giving chayin, but you're...
Well, I would actually see... I would say like, the davening for someone is giving them chayin.
Yeah, but why?
Right? Because I'm right. I'm coming close to you. I show that I appreciate you enough that I want to daven on your behalf.
Right.
But I'm not sure that it's a matana, because when someone gives you a bracha, yes, the power comes from God.
But, it's giving.
But think about it. Think how people talk about brachos.
Right.
Right? What do they talk about? The Rebbe gave me a bracha.
Yeah, they're not saying
the koyach of the Rebbe gave me a bracha.
Yeah.
Right? But if I don't formulate it as a bracha, right? Meaning, I just, in my room, privately, I daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that a guy should get better. Right? I just wonder
if it's more
about matana.
Right.
It's not matana. Why?
Because it's like not that person's getting the thing from it. Because you're not like in front of him.
Or I would put it differently. They're getting it from God.
Right.
Right. Meaning I'm not giving you a bracha. Right. I mean, even if all bracha would come from God.
Right. Then how would
right? There are different ways that we formulate them. Right. When the Rebbe puts his hands on your head and says, you know, you'll have a child within 12 months.
That's quite a bracha.
Right? The Rebbe is like giving you...
How can you say it?
It's not a bracha to you guys. I give you all a bracha. You don't have a child within 12 months. This tickles scary, you know?
I don't know.
I was trying to pick a safe one there, guys.
I don't understand how it's...
Look.
What do you mean?
How's it...
If it's... If you remember, we said if it's more about appreciating them, if I invest myself in davening for this non-Jew to get better, right?
You just don't want him to be sick. Like,
that's not appreciation. It's not. It's going to bring me close to him, right? I'm like pouring over. I'm crying there at Shacharis, right?
Right.
For the davening for this guy, right? That's not going to bring me close. That doesn't show that I appreciate him.
All right. Okay.
Right. So these are two nafkaminas I'm thinking about, right, between these. Now, they might, you know, again, I'm not totally convinced about this, but I give you a few makaros, and maybe we'll go through them, and we'll see.
Why aren't you convinced of the
nafkaminas? Well, first of all, to say that they're nafkaminas is to say that these two formulations of closeness and, you know, gate are totally distinct. But remember, we... different, totally, right? But as we saw, certain people raise the possibility that even praise, you would be allowed to praise someone if you got something back for it.
Yeah.
Right? Meaning we saw some people who wanted to blur the lines and claim that chinam qualifications also matir chayim, right? So it's not clear that these are 100% distinct, right? So it could be that you think if you get something back from it, that everyone would say it's mutter, I don't know. Right? But
that's the question.
But that's what I'm trying to figure out, because everyone quotes this Kolvo, and again, I want to try to figure out what it tells us about the nature, because I think it's sort of the last sugya that I want to do, at least, in terms of pushing the exact nature of these prohibitions. Now, I will point out that Gavri Butler, if you're listening, thank you, right, pointed out that I really shouldn't shouldn't finish the sugya. I mean, he's right, I was planning on doing it at some point, the question how I do it exactly, without sort of taking a snapshot at the end of the hashkafic implications of this, right? Because as you've seen, especially, right, those of you who were here on Sunday, Monday, last week, these obviously aren't just regular halachic issues, in the sense, like certain halachic issues people don't get like emotionally invested in, right? These issues people really get angry about, because, you know, people feel like we live amongst really not really wonderful non-Jews, and like, you know, yeah. I think, look,
I don't disagree with that, but at the same time, there's still a level of...
So we'll talk about it a little bit, well, you know, maybe at the end, maybe tomorrow. Look, I mean, you know, it's funny to me. Like, we look a little bit at this sugya and davening and giving brachos to a non-Jew. Like, I remember once when I was in YU, and for whatever, I think I've mentioned this story, for whatever reason, I fainted once during class, and woke up with two ambulances there giving me oxygen.
Nice.
Quite an intense class. Not important. It was my third year in YU. And my professor...
So was that after like 5 nights of staying up all night?
No, nothing to do with that. There's nothing to do with that. Maybe not on record. I'll tell you what it had to do with. But my professor, who was a very devout Catholic, and he was my thesis advisor, I was very close to him. He emailed me like the next day, and he's like, you know, I hope you're doing well. You know, if there's anything I can do for you, just let me know. I just want you to know that my family and I have been praying for you. And if there's anything else I can do, just let me know.
Stop praying for me.
And that was the Shem Elohim Achir Lozir God, right? Right? Oh, you know, that's a, yeah.
That was even though that he has good intentions.
Well, he had great intentions, but I'm saying, like, you know, he's a really wonderful person, and, like, you know, at some level, right, if he was, you know, sick, I would want to return the favor, you know?
Right.
You know, you would, right? Like, these, you know, when you have interactions with, you know, positive, substantive interactions with non-Jews, right, obviously, like, all these things get problematic. Like, I want to be able to say, which is true, that he was a great professor. He really was a great professor, right? You know? And you know, the fact that it's even a sugya to figure out why can I say that, how should I say it, and the like, right, can be, you know, it's something you know, not just halakhically, philosophically, got to think about, like, what does it tell you about the nature of relationships that we're supposed to have, right? That's sort of been emergent from a lot of these discussions, right? You know, I was reading today a review of Chaim Saman's new book. Do you know Chaim Saman?
I've read about him.
Chaim Saman's a very interesting person. Chaim is a professor of law at Villanova. law school and at Penn or Harvard, or he's been in different places. Like he did a semester at Penn and Harvard. I forget which one he's in now. As like
he's basically a genius. Not basically, he is.
Anyways,
yes.
So he basically did school the way Mutti did. What? So he did like Kleps and whatever, and like, and then like went to law school, and then became a professor in like Ivy League. You know, one of the someone in YU referred to him as the highest paid Kollel guy in the world, because he most of his research has been in comparative law. So he basically like gives Gemara Shirim in law school, right, but gets a tenured law professor salary. So he just wrote a book on halacha. With the basic thesis, I haven't read it yet. Meaning, I read excerpts before it was published when I was in Tikva, because you know he presented it there, so he gave us some of the advanced chapters. But one of the arguments he makes there is that the Gemara, unlike most legal systems, unlike most other systems in the world, Jews talk about philosophical issues in law. Like halacha
accounts for it.
Right, it's not just halacha. Like we talk about the most substantive philosophical issues as like pratim in halachic sugyas. Like law is the way that Jews express everything important in life. Right? It doesn't mean we don't have other disciplines, but often our favorite way of talking about things is in halacha. Right? But it does mean that at some point at an issue like this, which is philosophically right full of implications of how we're supposed to relate to the non-Jewish world, we do need to take a moment and just sort of take stock once we finish the sugya. But okay, let's look through a few. I gave you again a few tshuvot. You know what? Before we look at two, skip for a moment to three, because I don't know what to do with this. I've never even heard of this sefer until this morning. This is a sefer called Mesoris Moshe, which is a compilation of different things that people heard or saw or asked Rav Moshe Feinstein that isn't in Igros Moshe. Okay? There's so many of these books out, I have no idea. Like, I saw it referenced and I found it. Fine. He writes, Lispalul al goy. Are you allowed to daven for a goy? So he says, Echad shalom, mut lispal b'avur a goy, shabikish yispal b'avuro. Someone asked, can I daven for a goy who asked me to daven for him? Beheshiv rabbeinu shemutter. Moshe just said, it's mutter. Done. It's just mutter. The halo roim sheshlomo bikish sheba mikdash yanu hagoyim. Gamim einam reuyim. Said, how do I know? Because Shlomo HaMelech, right, he just goes straight to Tanakh. Shlomo HaMelech, when he was inaugurating the Beit HaMikdash, said, please God, listen to the Goyim who come to the Beit HaMikdash, even if they don't deserve to be listened to. Vishalom yesh lishol, jamim shel ha-goy, v'edra ben ha-betzim en chiluk, v'rach mitan injil, et batuach shezorim shelo, v'ali yesh yosher inyan begoyim levakesh imam yisraelim. So he says, Lishol Shame, rather. Said, do you have to ask for his mother's name? Right? And he says, yeah. I mean, fundamentally, yeah. Like, okay. I mean, he's like, maybe we're less sure. He's like, fundamentally, yeah. You want to ask for his mother's name? You know, so Davin, blah, blah, you know, whatever. Chris, the son of Mary. Like, I don't care, right? Like, whatever. Right? And he says, maybe only, right, maybe by a Jew you could ask the son of the father or the mother, because we have a chazaka that the father is the father. Maybe my non-Jews, we have to be more concerned that the father isn't the father, but we know that the mother is the mother. Okay, whatever. I don't know. Again, this is not like first, I don't know who's recording this conversation with Moshe. Fine. Anyways, but as it's quoted in this piece, what did Moshe say? Is it a problem with Davin for Goyim?
No.
Not at all. Right? It's not at all. He just says, obviously not. How do I know? Because Shlomo HaMelech said, Davin, that Hashem should listen to the tefillos of the non-Jews when they come to the Beis HaMikdash. Right? And that's why I'm wondering, right? Now, it could be that he just doesn't buy the entire Kolbo. Right?
Yeah.
It could be he just doesn't buy the entire Kolbo and says...
I don't know, that case in, that he's bringing the Raya from is a very specific kind of case.
Maybe. But, again, it's very hard to be medayik from these types of things. Right?
I mean, it could be it's not...
It could be he doesn't pass on like the Kolbo, for all I know.
It could be it's not...
But if he does, that's what I'm wondering.
It's not...
Right? There might, if you think that the problem is, right, like, Really, there should be check and X, right? Like this, right? Is it a problem, right? Or is it mutter, whatever? If you think that the kolbo thinks it's usher to give a bracha because that's like a matana, so maybe it's only a tefillah that's formulated like a bracha, which is sort of like ki'ilu, I'm giving you something.
But this kind of is. He's saying you should accept that you...
No, he said, like, can I go daven for him? Right? Meaning there might be a difference.
But
he's saying,
oh, Hashem, please accept. Like, he's given...
Maybe. Again, I this is like a very tenuous distinction. Like, I don't know if there's really a difference.
Kind of blessing the non-Jew.
Again, I don't know if there's a total difference between, like, a bracha that I give you, like I give you, you know, I put my hand in your head and give you a bracha or a tefillah. Again, it could just be it doesn't pass on the kolbo for all I know, right? Or it could be that it depends how you formulate it, right? Like for me to say like harachamanu yavare chosana, like, you know, when he's there, maybe that's more like, you know, I'm giving you, I don't know, right? I don't know, and maybe like a tefillah in private is different. I'm not really sure.
It might not even be chinamos.
So Ramosha hasn't brought that up.
The one's coming to the base.
But Ramosha seems to take this as a proof that it's always mutter, and that's why I I'm not totally sure. It could. So that's what I'm saying. It could be Ramosha just doesn't buy this whole thing. He just rejects the kolbo. He says the kolbo is against the pasuk. You know, end of story. Right. In which case, none of this is right. Right. Meaning, remember, the third possibility, which we haven't really discussed, is that none of this is right. Right? Praise is just praise. Right? And matanos are real gifts. Right? And davening is not a gift, and it's not praise. It's asking God to do something. So therefore, it's neither praise, and we're not expanding praise to say any type of talking about someone that causes closeness and appreciation. Right? And we're not expanding matana to be, you know, tefillah, where I'm not giving anything, God is. Right? Meaning, God gives things to non-Jews too, right? It could just be that Moshe says, I don't like this whole thing. And remember, I said, the Mishnah Brura, right, though he almost always quotes the Mogen Avraham and the Ber Hetev, he just doesn't quote this at all.
Like we said, if you're dawning for someone, it's kind of showing appreciation to the person.
Correct, but that may not be a problem. Maybe you think Chayin is only praying Mamish. So I'm saying, it could just be that we reject, this is... Right, both of this is within.
Here he is literally praising them, that their tefillah should be accepted.
It's not praise. It's not praise. He's davening to God that their tefillah should be accepted. That's not praise. He's davening to God. Praise is, you are beautiful.
He's saying to them.
What? No, he's saying to God. Shlomo davens to God that God should accept their tefillah.
That's not saying that your tefillah... It's not the same as saying your tefillah should be accepted. Like... That's kind of
what do you mean?
I'm saying, like, saying to the non, like, saying to Hashem, please accept the non-Jews' tefillahs. It's not the same thing as saying to the non-Jews that your tefillah should be accepted by God. Like,
no. I'm saying it's not praise. I'm saying, okay, there's three possibilities here.
It's the same.
Wait, no, there are three.
Yeah, okay.
There are three possibilities. Okay.
Yes.
One is that we bechlal don't accept the kolbo.
Right.
Right? When the kolbo says, don't give a bracha to a non-Jew.
Right.
Right? It could just be that Ramosha says, we do. That the kolbo's wrong. And he says, the only isser is to praise them. A bracha is not praise. It's tefillah. It's not a matana, because you're not giving them anything. God is. Right? And we're not expanding chayin to, like...
appreciation.
Whatever. It's just, are you praising them? And the answer is no. A tefillah is the opposite of praise. It's saying they are lacking, give them. That's not saying, right? That's not saying you are beautiful, right? It's saying you are not beautiful and you want to be beautiful, right? And I'm davening for you, right? That's not praise. So one possibility is to say we reject all of this.
So it's all how you word the...
No!
Yeah, because...
No. The first possibility...
Rabbi, I understand.
The first possibility is that we just don't accept the kolbo.
Right.
There's no isser... There's no isser to bless. It's like bracha, bless a god. There's no isser. One possibility is there's just no isser.
Right.
Why would there be no isser?
Because it doesn't fall under any of this.
Correct. It's not praise. It's not a matana. It's not land. Forget it.
Right.
So one possibility is that Ramosha just rejects the kolbo.
So,
right? Totally. And just says that chayin is only praise and that's it.
So,
right?
What I don't understand is bracha could be worded in different ways.
There is no way of formulating a bracha that it would be praise.
I give you a bracha that your tefillah should be accepted.
That's not praise. That's not praise. Praise means... That's not praise.
praise would be saying that they're beautiful.
Yeah.
That they're
praise is saying something good about something that's, that they are, they possess something that is good. To give them a bracha that in the future they should have good things, and not praise. That's prayer. That's a request. Think about davening. Right? We start with shevach. We praise God and then we ask for things.
Right.
Those are distinct.
Right.
Right? So it could just be you say, look, right? Praise is praise and prayer is requests. Those aren't the same thing.
Okay, fine.
And therefore it's mutter.
Right.
If you want to defend the kolbo,
right,
and say that it is in fact usher to give a bracha to non-Jews, so I said there's two ways of formulating it. One is to say that he brings chayin closer to matana,
right,
and thinks that giving a bracha to someone is like a matana-like thing.
Or praise is chayin.
Or he takes praise and he says praise isn't usher because you're praising them. It's
because
you can't express your closeness to them verbally, which could either mean that I'm saying you are beautiful or saying I wish you were. Both of those are expressing closeness. Right? Right?
Yes.
You're so healthy. I wish you were healthy. Okay? Whatever.
No.
I use the beauty one because it's ironic.
Like,
right? Because it's funny. But it could be anything.
Right.
So when Rav Moshe says you can daven for a non-Jew, that could be because he just rejects the kolbo and says, no, praise is praise, and there's no reason it should be ushered to daven for somebody.
Right.
Or maybe if he accepts the kolbo, he would say, look, there's a difference between someone coming to a gadol and saying, give me a bracha. We're like, at least sociologically, right, the feeling is like I'm giving you something, I'm bequeathing you a blessing,
right?
As opposed to like someone saying, can you please daven for me in private, where like I'm not giving you a bracha, like I'm turning to God, but whatever you get is from God. Even if you think a bracha is from God, that's not my point, right? They're still, you understand, when people say they're going for bracha, right, it's still different than when people say please daven for me, right? I mean, just associate, like sort of psychologically.
One is that I'm giving, like, you shall...
No, I'm just saying, I'm like...
No, I'm trying to see the difference. One is that you shall be get well, and one is that God should make you well.
Like, now, yes, and even if you think... Correct, and even if you think a bracha is really just davening to God, which it is
yes.
No, but I'm saying, but still, no, I'm saying sociologically. But I'm saying, like, the way people feel about it, right, is that if someone comes and gives you a bracha, right?
Right.
They feel like they're getting something.
Right.
Right. Even again, even if what a bracha means is you're davening to God, right? Still, if it's a right, people who go bracha hopping,
right?
They want to go. They want to. They go from gadol to gadol and say, "Give me a bracha." You know, like I'm not into this stuff.
The bracha cares about.
Things. Right. I'm not into this stuff. No, I'm not into brachas. Nichal, I don't need anyone giving me a bracha. I'm okay. Right? I'm not into brachas, I'm not into skulas, it's not my thing. Right? Like, you know, it's like...
I heard eating healthy is a skula for being healthy.
Oh, I love Rav Aviner's skulas. No, Rav Aviner has this list of skulas. He's like, a skula...
Putting on sunscreen is a skula for not getting a sunburn.
Is going on dates.
Yes. Oh. A skula for shalom bayis is doing the dishes. Like in a chanami, he's a very smart man.
I love those.
What?
Those are like anti-jokes.
No, I mean Shlomo Aviner from Israel. Okay. So again, I'm not sure of this. Again, this is tenuous.
That's a good one.
Yes. Okay, good. So let's try to look at a few tshuvot. Again, I'm telling you, this is not like... Okay. Number two. So this is Tshuva Chaim Biyad. Okay? Chaim Falaji. One of the greatest Sfaradi Paiskim of the last 200 years or so. Okay. Hine ta'afti la'amod al mishi yesh lo goy shu socher shalom marviach im avose lo tove hu chola lishol higi imutu lispao lov shi yichye v'gam lo zaytak ba'adol otam al chacham shil medu rafosu imutu olo. Someone came to ask a shayla. He has a business partner who's a guy who's sick. Can he daven for him?
Good question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Someone who's sick.
So he says, "Tshuva nearly the mutter gomeru." I think it's mutter. Why? And he quotes Sefer Chassidim, "Shehudi she'asa lo goy tovos k'shezocha tzarach lomar alav zichro lebracha." That if someone has done favors for you, so then it's mutter.
He's taken away the chinam part.
Right. So right off the bat, you see that the Chaim Biyad thinks to the extent that it's usher to daven, it's because I'm giving you something.
Right.
Right? And therefore, all those heterim that we found by matanas, are going to be Jewish tefillah. So if it's someone who I owe something to,
then you could.
Then it's mutter,
right?
I'm not sure. He said, "Oh, I'm a sefer chasidim." It's saying fine. And he says,
so he's saying praise is connected. He's kind of saying praise is connected.
Where did I get this formulation? Right, I said.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm telling you. Like, I didn't make this up. I said, like, certain postgame, you see that they seem to be thinking that to the extent that there's any problem with davening, it's more because it's like a matana-like thing. And therefore, as long as it's not chinam, it's mutter. Correct, and therefore... What?
This is only tefillah.
Yeah, but he doesn't make a difference between bracha and tefillah. That's my distinction, maybe, really? To explain to Moshe. He just assumes they're the same. Right? And he says, upuk chazi... in another state of Hasidim, Yehudi Shishalach Lenachre Lemerchakim, Yacholik Vagdar Shishiyashu Vishalom. Right? I mean, this should have been obvious. Honestly, whoever asked the Shaila, he's like, let's say you are an employer and you sent your employee on a ship, on a ship.
Yeah.
You're allowed to daven the guy return alive. Right?
Yeah.
He says, Shalim Lo Yashu Chaykadu. He doesn't go back. Shema Ya'alila Lo Yehudim. Because he comes back, if he doesn't come back, it's going to be bad for the Jews, right? The Jewish employer, right, sends the rich Jewish employer sends the non-Jewish sailors to make money for him, and they drown at sea, right? It's not going to be good, right?
This is taking away the chinam.
So again, so he says, right? So he says that's obviously mutter. So skip to the next paragraph. He said, "Korani zeh bni ki bi yitzchaki karei." The Rav Rov Dagan Bekuntrish Oslatova, in some sefer I've never heard of, but okay. My son showed me, apparently he had never heard of it either, but right, the Chaim Biad son showed him some kuntris that said, Shenishal imutter lasas lachisho bracha lagoy. Right now, you see, he doesn't distinguish between bracha and regular tefillah. That's why he said that's very tenuous. I'm not sure it's true, right? And he said, he saw this sefer who said, you're allowed to give a bracha to a goy, a choloshe yisrape. Right, because maybe he's a chassid me'umas ha'olam, right? Maybe he's a tzaddik. Ve'heishiv, im k'shabai lav ha'goy. So he said, if the guy comes to you, v'yachal yishamet, mimanu lamed l'shchon l'mreni yodea. If you can get away from giving the bracha or doing magic or whatever you're doing to heal him, so avoid it. Aval im hayim etziyashu makiro. But if you know him, right? Remember Makiro?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right? Right, so not that. If he knows that you are a healer, and you can't get away, he says, then you can daven, but the way you should do it is you shouldn't daven directly for the guy to
get better.
What should you do? Daven for him to do tshuva so that God will make him better. Now here is where you sort of see this, right? Right? Think about it. Right? What's he saying? He's saying for you to daven for him to get better is you making him better. But for you to daven that he should do tshuva so that God will make him better, right? It's not really a matana. Right? That's a very lumdish way of distinguishing between a bracha and a tefillah. Because what are you saying? A bracha is... Why would you say a bracha is more like a matana than a tefillah?
Because that's you.
Because a bracha is me saying, God should listen to me and make you better. A tefillah is that I want you to be worthy of God granting it to you. It's not, I'm not asking a favor of God. I'm asking that you be worthy of God giving you a favor directly. Right? That's a very lumdish way of saying that a bracha would be a matana. Right? A straight bracha.
Right?
Would be different than Davin said he'll do tshuva and then God will grant it. Right? That is like a... Right? That is like someone who is trying to be as lumdish as possible on distinguishing. But even so, he says it's only mutter because of Darkei Shalom. Right? Which, remember, was a heter within. Again, within matana.
Right.
Right? That's why tzedakah is mutter. Right? He says if tzedakah is mutter. Right? But remember, that was why tzedakah not a matana.
Right.
Right, and that's why within the Chaim Biyad, you see that he conceptualizes whatever the problem of bracha tefillah is, it's anything which looks like a matana. And therefore, if there's darkei shalom involved, so we already said darkei shalom permits staka and makes it a non-matana.
Right.
And if instead of davening straight for him to get better, I daven that he do tshuva so that God will want to make him better, right? So I'm not giving it to him directly, right? God is giving to him, right? You see that he's conceptualizing it this way.
Right.
Right? And then he brings rayos from the fact that Elisha cured Naaman from his tzara'at and he became a ger tzedek, right? So that he didn't just make him healthy. Like he says, Refuas HaNefesh came with Refuas HaGuf. All of you know exactly that story, right? No, not at all. In the beginning of Malachim Bet, Perek Vav, if I remember correctly, Hey or Vav. I'm trying to think if it was the one I did last week. I'm going to do this week. Anyways, Naaman was a general, non-Jewish general, who came to Elisha to have his tzara'at healed. And Elisha healed him, and after he healed him, he was so impressed that he promised that he would never again worship Avodah Zarah, except when he needed to for political purposes. But he wouldn't mean it. He would bow, but in his heart, he still believed in God. That's the end of that story. Okay, and he says there it's a Kiddush Hashem. Then he goes on for a few heterim that I won't get into, and he says, and maybe everything nowadays is less machmir because remember, right? Remember literally every time you have any sugya in Los Sechanim, what do we need to ask? Which guy does it apply to? Is it only the Shavamim, only Ovdei Avodah Zarah, right? Remember, anybody but a Ger Toshav. So he says, nowadays they're not really idolaters. And he said, the guy asked about a Chassid Meumas Olam. And therefore, if it's a Chassid Meumas Olam, so maybe whatever prohibition would exist doesn't exist at all, right? Mm-hmm. But that was literally the end of every single, right? If you remember, every sugya always asked that, is which sheet did we hold him? Okay. And then in the next paragraph, he says that if you daven for your business partner, right, it will also be mutter because it's bad for you to lose your business partner.
Yeah.
So it's not, again, chinam, right? Again. So you see that all the hetam he's bringing up are going this direction. Right, and then he tells the story of Talmidei Chachamim who got together and said Tehillim for a guy, and he got healthy, and it was a Kiddush Hashem, and they realized how great Jews are. That's okay, that's chinam. What?
That's not chinam either.
And he says, it's not chinam, and then he says, why not? Because
you're getting something in return.
Yeah, you're getting toilet la'yudim. They're impressed with the Jews. Now they're going to do good things for the Jews, right? I was listening to one of these shirim, and the story he told. I looked it up. You can find sources of this that apparently in World War II. They were trying to get, I think it was certain rabbis out of a country, off of a list of people who were going to be killed, whatever it was, and they found out that the only person to get them off the list was the head of the mob, a guy named Joe Bonanno. And so this like macher brought Rav Aaron Cutler to him, and Joe Bonanno said, you know, give me a bracha. And so he said, he gave him a bracha that he should die in his bed. At an old age, which for a mobster is like a big deal, right? Like to not be murdered,
right.
You know. And he liked the bracha so much that he saved all these Jews, right? And apparently that was Maishaya Kachaya, right? So and then apparently the son, when he became the head of the mob, tried to find Rishner Cutler and get a bracha from Rishner Cutler, and Rishner Cutler didn't want to give him a bracha. He said, you know, my father was had big kachas. I don't understand what any of this means, but But the point is,
the sheet is not even saying that tefillah
right.
Falls under chin; it just falls under matzah.
So, but he does quote that it's about chin, but he still drags it in to all these right this chinam, and then he quotes a sefer chasidim of writing a kmeah for someone who's going to help in Jews. Right, there's all these different things, but you read through his tshuva, it seems to be that fundamentally, how is he viewing it? So he's saying this?
Not chinam.
Sort of like matana-like. And therefore, any argument that we use for matana is darkei shalom, or, right, make it as not from you, it's from God, or it'll help the Jews, it'll be a kiddush
Hashem. So how would he apply the chinam?
No, but remember, we said that chen itself is
right, connected.
The Kolbo says it's about chen.
Right.
But we said one way of thinking about chen is that it's more matana-like, and therefore the heterim that would work for matana would work for this.
He's not even bringing chen into this.
Well, at the end, actually, he does. I didn't read through all of it, but he does. So that's why I'm saying I think he conceptualizes even chen closer to matana,
like the Kolbo.
Which is what I'm suggesting for the Kolbo. I don't know that that's what the Kolbo means, that's what I'm suggesting.
Okay.
But within the Chaim Biyah, that seems to be the way, the direction he takes.
Interesting.
Okay? I gave you two other tshuvot here. You want to look? Turn to the last one first. I just thought this was an interesting tshuva. It's just, this is a tshuva saver I want you to be familiar with, so I brought it in. Do you know what the tshuvas mimamakim are?
Nope.
So tshuvas mimamakim were tshuvot by Rav Oshri that were written in the shilas he got in the Holocaust. Okay? These were his tshuva that he wrote, and many of them are terribly painful. Like, you know, are you allowed to say Shlo Asani Eved if you're in if you're under Nazi control and you feel like a slave? Right? Like, they're very painful tshuva. Like, they're tshuva that show you the mindset and the realities that people were facing. So here he has a tshuva in Chelek Dalet of Mamakim. He says, "Bedini mutter lomar mishaberach abur cholani nachret." So he was asked, "Are you allowed to daven for a non-Jew?" What was the case? I just thought the shaila was interesting from a historical perspective. It was acharei shezachinu sherichem Hashem al pleitad Yisrael otim masgerasir. Right after we were zocheh that God had mercy on us and brought us out of, you know,
so this is after the war.
Mibeit kelo yoshvei choshech, right, from prison, from living in darkness. Kozol l'chayim ra, or gadol, anyone who is sealed for life, is written for life, has now seen the light. Or chazde yeshuas Hashem lazud lehem achres. V'tikva v'neim ha-yelad Yehuda shenachres, agaz evi oso l'kila mikovno, shehor rav shem mikovno, evi oetzal nachres azos, v'yadam michtav kotzol ha-yadam. Right? So what happened? I'll tell you the story outside. There was a Jew who was saved by this non-Jewish woman, and not only did she save him, right, but that the parents had requested that after the Holocaust she try to find a Jewish community for him, right? Not just save him physically, but save him spiritually.
Right.
And this woman saved his life, and after the war found his relatives in America so that he could be Jewish. And now this woman comes, and he's the next paragraph. Now this woman is sick, and she asked from this boy that she saved, you know, I hear that Jews daven for sick people. Can you daven for me? All right, it's a good shayla. It's a beautiful shayla.
Is she considered a ger toshi?
Why are we even
right? So
not a ger.
Now, so I think all of you agree that what do you want the answer to this to be?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So his tshuva is yes. Why? He says, first of all, darkei shalom. But he says, what did the Chaim Biyad say? Right? He says that if it was your business partner, you could do it because you benefit.
But it's not something, you're not getting something that you already got.
Right? Oh, but you remember the tips? Remember the taz about tips? If it's something you did for me in the past or in the future,
right?
Then in the end of the day, I'm not doing it for no reason. I'm doing it because
I already got something.
Like, because I'm doing it because we have a standing relationship. It's not for no reason.
Benefit somehow.
Correct.
No,
so he says.
You did benefit from. You're not going to benefit from.
So he says. Look at the last paragraph. He says, he says, for sure. Right, this is not for no reason. It's for a good reason. Yes, it's for what she did in the past, but it's a good reason. I would add something else. Remember the Ateret Paz? Right, the Ateret Paz says, if the problem is Lo Sechanim, is what? That I'm getting you close to the bad ways of non-Jews.
But this isn't the bad way.
Yeah, remember, he said you're allowed to praise a Druze who died fighting for Israel.
Yeah,
right. Why? Because it's clear you're not
praising, yeah. You're praising the good deeds.
You're writing that right.
You're praising
if you think you're only not allowed to praise, again, you could limit it and say, look, she's a tzaddikis, right? And you're not going to learn bad things from her. Dafka, you know, you could come up with different ethereum, but the point is, right, whatever, however you want to justify it, if you were me, right, I would also want to justify this, right? How could you not? Right, how could you not? Okay,
so
fine.
It doesn't even mention anything about what it's called.
Okay, one more thing, one more tshuva.
Here's
quickly, do we have time? So, very quickly, let's give you the last tshuva. One second. We have 90 seconds. The last tshuva was made from Ravadia. Ravadia was asked, if a ger is allowed to daven for his parents who are sick or not Jewish.
Ooh.
Right?
Interesting.
Right, that was his shayla. And he says...
That's kind of like matana. Like,
right? So he says... Now, he, interesting, doesn't even bring up losachanim, which I thought was interesting. He just thinks it's mutter. He even says you can say kaddish for them. Right? That you, right? That's his conclusion.
Really?
He
doesn't even bring up losachanim. Why?
Yeah, okay, if you got guys, do you want to look through this tshuva tomorrow? Should we look through it more inside?
Yeah.
Okay, tomorrow. So we'll look through this tshuva. I think it's a fascinating question because it really, right? It gets to it, right? Clearly, it's not for no reason,
right?
Clearly, right? He has a relationship. They're his biological parents, right? But formally, right? Okay, so we'll look at Rav Avadi tomorrow then.